Okay, huddle up, sports fans. Live from Studio B, it's showtime for Ken, Mark, and John, the sports authorities, here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
Yes, we're here, the sports authorities, just because you love us and you know you do. Here right. From Studio B, and the microphone is going away from Mark. Come back here, you.
Why are you doing that to me, microphone?
Better? There you are. Now you have a better idea. But yay, kids, we're so glad that you're here with us today.
And adults, too.
There you go. And that, thankfully, we huddled out of the tunnel. I mean, we haven't seen the tunnel in I don't know how long, and nor yet. Guess shall we ever again? So we're so
glad. It was getting pretty seedy.
kind of eight-tracky. I
mean, there was green stuff growing out of the walls.
Oh yeah, it was very Joe Louis Arena-ish.
It didn't meet our high standards anymore.
Did you see that they might not even have got the deal done with the Palace?
Okay.
More later in the show, but right now we will tell you that we are not bought and paid for by any other kind of sport.
Entity.
Avenue. That's right. So
we can tell them to buzz off if we want.
That's right, if not more. So what else can we do here? We do not have the FCC here. We do follow the DMCA rules. So if sometimes the language gets a little salty, we don't give a damn. All the opinions imparted here are all ours, so don't sue us. All right, what else do we have?
You're not getting anything anyway.
I know. Yeah. So
they could get the helicopter, though.
That's true, too. And get ready for the Woodward Dream Cruise 2017, we are going to be there broadcasting live. More later on that, but right now, as we go here, introducing our fine panel of guests, and they are fine panels, and we are authorities here. We are not experts, because experts would be like toilet paper next to how wonderful us bounty people are.
Yes.
So, the super CPA to our right, Ken Pocket. Hi, Kenny, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific, John, and I hope everyone out there is doing well as well.
That's true. And now, left to right on your dial, going to the goalposts that say Notre Dame on the side, the sport director here at CKIWI Radio 76, number 188.61 in your programs, number one in your hearts, our sport director, Mark Milicek. Hi, Mark.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny.
And number 386 in the mugshot.
There you go. So
Here's
what's going to go on right now is that you're going to hear us yell out some numbers is because Mark has typed up some ideas for us to go through. And so if you hear us calling out numbers, it just means that that's where we're going. So that's a little bit of inside radio for you. And talking about inside your radio, we can't go any more deeper inside. So, Mark, kick us off. Where are we going?
Well, let's see. Do we want to talk about Tony Romo or the Detroit Lions?
Oh, goody.
Why would we want to talk about Tony Romo?
I don't know. Why would we want to talk about Johnny Manziel?
You
or
suck!
Or Tim Tebow or any of these other dogs that keep getting pulled up in
there. Toronto's here.
No, okay. Talk about Tony Romo. He hasn't retired from the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't given out his number to anybody trying out for the Dallas Cowboys.
How did he not retire? I thought he retired.
Nope. He has not filed retirement papers through the NFL. The Cowboys haven't given anybody his locker or his number, but he now works for CBS Sports as a color commentator.
So don't you have to give up one to get to the other? I mean, if you haven't retired yet, how are you going to go and see? What are you going to do? Throw a pass, run up to the booth, told him you throw a pass, go back down the field?
See, that's why I wrote the story up. It's like,
that's why you're an authority.
That's right. So explain it to us, Mark. How's
this go, man? What's that all about, Alfie?
Yeah, he hasn't retired. Dallas hasn't given his locker, number, nothing to anybody. He's supposed to be working for CBS, and Dallas doesn't have a backup quarterback yet. So,
loser.
Speculation is, how long does he stay in the booth if Dak Prescott gets hurt?
for a very long time. I mean, really, if you've ever been an NFL quarterback, means that you had to go through college, high school, junior high, no flag football in elementary. I mean, you got your bell rung. Your body is hurting a great deal, a ton. You know, when you give it up, I mean, it's cushy, easy job, you know, to be up in the broadcast booth. You get just as much notoriety, if not more. You're always the perfect dude because you haven't lost a game. You get very good meals and you get very good hospitality in your hotel rooms, especially if you're a Dallas player, you know. Maybe you get a fine continental breakfast, you know, from Mrs. Continental herself, or Miss Continental, I should say. So, you know, why would you want to play football anymore? You're getting paid just about as much, if not more, you know.
Well, I think the thing you always seem to get this when a big-name guy retires with something left in the tank. And you know, obviously people think that Romo has something left in the tank. And we're seeing it with David Ortiz now, too, because his name keeps getting kicked around. Well, you know, he's going to come back. And, you know, people just can't let go. You know, how many years was it Barry Sanders was going to come back to the Lions?
Still.
I mean, the guy's what, 67?
In 2017, it's like, well, you know, it's like people think that he got frozen in time when he retired. That was it. He went into some kind of isolation chamber, and they froze his body until they could, like, you know, thaw him out.
Kind of like Ted Williams had?
Yeah, yuck. Yeah, or Walt Disney. There's a combination, you know? To bring him back now, okay, so he's 67, you know, or 57, whatever he may be. I mean, go figure. You know, what do you think you could – I mean, if you come back at 57 years old and you're the lead back for the Detroit Lions, tells you all you need to know.
The Lions are in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still in trouble, but, yeah. You know.
But they can never, ever, ever get a running back. What the hell? See, that got you into number two.
That's right.
There you go. It's called a segue in radio.
That's right. Yeah, the Lions have signed running back Matt
Asiata.
Asiata. There we go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kenny.
Not bad.
And offensive lineman Connor
Cook.
Bozak.
Bozak, yeah. Ooh.
Bonzak. Yeah. From where? Signed him from where?
Free agents.
Yeah, but agents.
Where'd they come from?
Yeah, Asiata came from Minnesota.
Okay.
But where did Connor Bozak come from?
He must be a relative of Tyler Bozak.
He's a rookie. He came out of Delaware.
Bozak Meats in Hamtramck.
Well, yeah, maybe.
What do you got in your glass, sir? Is that peanut butter?
No, that was just the grip.
You ripped off the grip of your
grip
cap?
Came off. Yeah.
Way to go, Ace. All right.
With the guns. The guns ripped it off.
Okay, Mr. Gibraltar. He's a gun show every night.
Bozak, though, he's out of Delaware, so he was a blue hen. It's good to know.
Yeah.
He went from blue hen to blue. Ugh.
Blue and silver?
Talk about crinkly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you go. Your 22-year-old guard out of Delaware. He played 46 games over four seasons with the Blue Hens. I mean, how tough can you be to be a blue hen?
Blue hen.
I know, Tigers, Lions, Blue Hens. Earning the two All-Colonial Athletic Association selections, both at tackle and guard. What the hell is the All-Continental Athletic Association? Or the guy just make it up and put it on his resume? I mean, anybody starting out, you kind of fudge a little bit on your resume.
Mid-Continent, All-Colonial.
All-Colonial.
All-Colonial Athletic Association.
There you go, the ACAA. Which is, you know, well-renowned.
You
I mean,
know what?
The SEC.
If you're going to make something up and put it on your resume, I think it could do better than the All-Colonial Athletic Association. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that kind of is limp, you know? That's as limp as Verlander's. Or Chubb.
His tight groin, you mean?
Yeah, really. How did he get the tight groin? How did Verlander blow out his right groin? I'll tell you, I'm gripping too hard with his left. Mr. Crinkly Deck.
Got it caught in a car door again.
Got it caught in her car door. That chick. It's too much weight. I mean, she was doing a reverse cowgirl and bam! It came down on him. You know? You couldn't get the corkscrew out fast enough. There goes the cork. Smashed. All right. So now we got that done. So big deal. So what do we expect out of, you know, the running back from Minnesota? Why does he come from Minnesota to us? You know, why? Who took his place?
We're not getting a whole lot, I don't think.
I mean, yeah, these are he's, fill-ins.
He's basically your short game guy by the goal line.
So why do we have him?
Because we need somebody.
We already got Zach Zenner, unless you're going to.
Yeah. I mean, really, they all love Zen Zenner, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is going to be a crowd favorite for years, or the one until he goes away and he finds somewhere actually to do. You know, but I guess he's in medicine. I mean, really, way to go, dude. He doesn't need football. You know, nice going, Ace. So
and not only that, but, you know, gets hit in the head a few times, you forget about the medicine, you know?
Yeah, really. That's who you want to be your heart surgeon. Yeah. You know, a guy that's been concussed a couple of times. All right, so.
I think this goes here, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, really. What do I use a cut with?
I'm going to cut him here or. Or maybe there.
There you go. Yeah, well, maybe I'll run the baseball team. Hey, I can help you. Oh, back from the dead.
He froze him, huh?
There you go, Mr. I, Mr. Flip
your
wig.
You could have frozen and brought back.
Huh? They froze his wig, which was frozen since 1986. I mean, nobody has a perm anymore, guys. You know what? I'm waiting to see if Chris Illich starts wearing it. You know, like a hat like Mike Nesmith did with the Monkees. You know, let's see if he puts his dad's wig on top of his head.
Or he just gets a perm of his own.
God, yeah, that color of the old man. As soon as that happens, you like jump for the joys. But this does bring it back, too. There's a thing in the Detroit Free Press, I believe, said it's not a done deal. They haven't signed anything, you know. So even though they're not supposed to have anything at the Palace of Auburn Hills, that, oops, there it is, you know. They said that they should get everything all done in a couple of weeks. But, you know, anything from a politician, as we have learned from the last 6 months, you know.
So. You know what they say, the deal isn't done until the check clears the bank.
Thank you, and that's what they say in Washington. So, what's number three about?
Number three, Brandon. Jacob.
I just happen to remember. They were talking about, they still don't know what to do if, because they said all 62 suites are sold. But they don't know for the Red Wings. So they don't know what they're going to do. And I think we discussed this last week. They don't know what they're going to do for the basketball folk. You know, because if you want a basketball, you know, season ticket or suite, you can't really. If you pay $250,000 per year for a suite, you get to decorate it any way you want. Especially if, like, say you're Coca-Cola, you're going to make it red and white and you're going to have all kinds of little cookie things on all this stuff. So what happens if you have to share that with somebody? You know, because if they say, okay, it's $250,000 for the Wings, and then how much, what value do you put on the Pistons? Another $250,000? Not even close. No. You know, another. I mean, even if you jack it $50,000, make it $300,000 for every wing and every basketball game, is it worth it to you? And now, which brings us into something else that I'm sure Mark wrote up about today, is the season ticket dead? You know, it sure certainly be, and sure should be right about now, because back in the day, you could write it off. Maybe you still can.
No.
See, you can't. So if you can't write that off for entertainment, you know, and whatever they used to write it off as.
Miscellaneous expense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what they did for strippers, you know. But nobody now, nobody has the time now to go to 80 games.
No.
You know, as much as you would love to. And with the TV experience getting higher and higher, and once they start really broadcasting in 4K, you know, wow. You know, that experience, you're going to have the best seat in the house. The best bathrooms, the best beer, you know, and if the game blows, you know, you're essentially gambling. You're given even Jimmy John Field is over $1,000 for one season ticket, one Uno, to watch college ball. Although a beautiful place to watch baseball, you know, it is kind of cute. However, you know, are you going to go to, first of all, are you going to go to 80 games? Second of all, are you going to pay whatever money that is? I mean, football may be a different thing because you only have 8 games, you know, And they can charge you whatever you want because you're so damn dumb for going.
Lions fans.
Loser.
There you go. Yeah. However.
But you know what? No, but seriously, though, they're on the upswing. They've got a plan. They're working the plan. The Super Bowl bound.
10-year plan.
Uh-huh. 60-year plan.
I'll give it to you. There you go. That's about where the plan is going. Yeah. So, I mean, because I don't know anybody who's... You know you're in trouble when you have a 40-game package, a 20-game, a 10-game, and then a 4-game, but you have to buy, like, say, the San Diego, Chargers, the San Diego Padres when they come in.
Yeah.
You know, a game that would be very unattractive. I mean, but who can afford that? Because we're looking at that. Because we're looking at some of the tickets over at Jimmy John's Field. It's $35.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Are you nuts? I mean, basically they're $20 and 15, and it's like, okay, there's some, how much is a movie nowadays? 10?
Yeah.
You know? So for $5 more, you kind of get the baseball kind of deal, and it's kind of cute and whatever. Yeah. You go see a couple of times. But I don't know anybody who can follow Jimmy John's Field with four teams that are, you don't know who the good guy, who the bad guy is. Now there's rumors that there may be another Jimmy John's Field out in, say, Birmingham.
Really?
So if they do that and they kind of truck in people left and right, I mean, Birmingham has got to be expensive as hell because no one's going to go to Pontiac. You can get Pontiac land like right now. But if you get something out there on the Oakland side, you know, this little teeny tiny thing, but I don't think there's any brown field, and that's what made Jimmy John's Field so affordable to the guy, you know, as far as we know. You know, I mean, there was a lot of things that the city kicked in, that the state kicked in, that the feds kicked in, this guy kicked in, you know. So, I mean, God bless. I mean, he had a little bit of vision there. So if he can get another one there, and so you can actually have people come in and boo a team. I mean, I can't get next to the Eastside Hoppers, no matter what you do. I mean, that's a dork name.
It is.
You know, I mean, the Woolly Mammoths is a dork name, but the Beavers, you know, I know that you let the kids in some elementary school pick the names, but that only takes you so far, man. You know, you want to get people, I mean, you know, you want to get families and all that stuff in there, but, you know, give it, so it's not cartoony, you know, give us a real team, give us somebody to boo, let us, make it up, be like the WWE, say, look, the Birmingham Beavers are really bad guys, and they cheat, and they dress in black and silver, boo, I'll give them a boo. Where they're at.
Boo!
There we go. Dress them up in blue and white. We don't give a damn what you do. You know, give us something. But we take a look at Call America. Their tickets, the $37 tickets, you're closer to Woodward than you are there. And then you can get $100 tickets, which are down in the box seats. So two $100 tickets plus parking. Forget about eating or drinking. Don't even think about doing that. You know, and you kind of go, all right, we have at least a $250 night for a team that may not be contending, you know. But you go to Jimmy John's, drop 50, and there you go. You know, what's the difference in the baseball? You know, whether you watch, you know, really one above college at Jimmy John's or one below.
It all depends on who Asmus puts in the lineup that night.
God,
Mikey
bless.
Batuk, anyone?
Do we got anything about that in here today?
No. I mean, I got tons of stuff in there, but I didn't. What about Mikey?
Well, I mean, he can play at Jimmy John Field.
The team could, you know?
Oh, well, yeah. I thought we could just add that to it. I didn't think we had to write that down.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I talked to my son about this. Just a little while ago, I said.
Go ahead, drop your name of your son, and why would you talk to him?
I talked to my son because his name is Matt Pocket, and he is the sports director up in the for a station up in the Sioux.
There you go, our direct competition.
And no, actually, he was on our show once.
I know.
So,
but he didn't make the cut, so that's why he had to go to.
He's just an expert, not an authority.
He's learning. I mean, he's learning how to shave. I mean, he's coming up.
But like I told him, I says,
good kid though.
There is a reason why they talked about selling in May. Not because they're not going to, but because they're going to. You don't talk about it in May if you're not going to sell. You just don't. Why are you trying to kill the morale of the team, kill the morale of the fans by talking about selling so early? You're setting it up is what you're doing.
What Kenny is talking about is that the Detroit Tigers were already admitting into the press that they're going to be blowing up the team by July. But you normally don't say anything until the trade deadline, and then you kind of go, all right, let's see what we got. But these guys are so far ahead of the curve, you know, they're telling everybody, you know what, your jobs might not be here in August.
Yeah, if you get out of the month of June and you're below 500, we're going to make everybody available.
Yeah, which does what?
You know,
which
is morale.
So I would tank.
It was kind of funny because it was like the week after that statement was made. They looked terrible.
Yeah, it didn't inspire them at all. I mean, what are you going to do, empty threat? Here's the story. I get paid either way. You're not cutting me. You're trading me. You're trading me maybe to a contender, you know?
Yep.
Trade me. You know, I mean, trade Cabrera, like we have said. Go back to any podcast here. We get rid of Cabrera. Now, yesterday, whatever. I realize somebody's got to take that contract of his and stuff, but there's got to be some idiot or great GM out there in baseball that would want to get somebody that could put fannies in the seats and a guy that's going to go into the Hall of Fame, no question about it, you know. But then comes the Pujols-Cabrera debate. Who's got more home runs? Not Cabrera, you know. Nope. Who's got more? I'm telling you, I didn't know that Pujols was creeps up there, but man, oh man, you look at his stats. Wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Did a lot of damage for St. Louis when he was there.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He offloaded him at just the right time, too.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
He hasn't done as much damage for the Angels,
that's right,
but
yeah.
He did a lot of damage for St. Louis.
Yeah, he kind of does some, but you take a look at that, you would think if you were a Anaheim fan, look at that lineup on paper. Wow. You know, yeah. I mean, if you get Trout and then this guy hitting cleanup or vice versa, or you have Pujols as your DH for life.
But they have nothing else around these guys.
Yep.
And now with Trout out for an extended period, it's going to be ugly.
Good. Well, then maybe we can stop the Cabrera-Trout thing that always pops up every August. You know, forget about it. I mean, you got two directions going on right now, you know. Cabrera is never, ever going to be where he ever was.
No.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're lucky to get him to DH next year. Because really, you're going to have to write out his contract for 4 more years.
Yeah.
As soon as Victor is gone, what, next year?
Next year, after next year.
Jesus God almighty, you got one more year of Victor.
Yep.
Whee! You know, I mean, think about what those knees are going to be like. You know, if you can't run now, if you get a bona fide triple and he's turning the base at first and he's wincing, you know, I mean, you can't put a rocket on his butt and say, go, you know. You can't have like a pinch runner like they have in T-ball. You know, you hit it and you have like Romine standing at the plate and then he gets to run to first base. You know what it reminds me of a whole lot? It was when you see Victor run. Remember those old Vibro games back in the 60s where you hit the button and like they had like those football games and they'd be like on steel.
Oh, but, yeah, the electric one? Yeah,
the Vibrosonic one where the guy would like trying to make it to first base and then you'd have to like almost turn it so it'd go to second base. I can't think of the thrills that kids in the 60s had. You know, whee! Was that fun? You watch a piece of plastic bounce on an electrified piece of tin. Whee! Come on over. You know? Because ever see the football games that like that?
Yeah,
you hit the button and everything goes just in any old direction it wanted to. And it's like, well, there, he looks like he's running for a score. What the hell?
You know? You're on offense and you're trying to, okay, I'm going to play it so he runs through this way. And all of a sudden you turn the game on and it's like,
No,
out of bounds.
Did they have like a little peg or something in that so it like weight the thing so it would go in a certain direction?
But then when you put the little ball was like magnetic.
Yeah.
It would
bounce,
put it on a balance, and then all of a sudden it would go off to the side. It's like, okay, that play didn't work.
Whee! That sure was fun.
Yeah. God. Look, he got a minus 10 yards on that play.
Yeah, a little whistle. Yeah, I mean, really, it's just like, gosh, man, all we have to do is wait another 12 years for the microwave to come into play.
Yeah.
Then we can watch, like, marshmallows flatten out in 30 seconds. Wowie! It was a simpler time.
It was.
For only $1,200 for a microwave whatever.
Oh, yeah, the very first ones? Oh, heck yeah. You had to get, like, they had to come to your house with a Hilo. I mean, the thing had plutonium in it. It was like, wow, this is a dangerous piece of machinery. But look, you know, it made my coffee hot in 30 seconds.
That's
right. Call the neighbors, wake the kids. Let's see what we can melt next.
Looked like it came out of Lost in Space or something.
Oh, I mean, all the people that... but they were all chrome, and they had those big, huge chrome Amana radar range knobs. And
just
shit
think
like
how long... How quickly could I dry off my cat?
Yeah, well, everybody had to figure out what it was going to go, you know. Everybody wanted to make that grilled cheese sandwich. Look, put a slice of Velveeta in there and... Watch it melt, because everyone's so used to putting it in an oven, they put it like it on 5 minutes, and this thing would like explode on the inside of this deal. And you're right, and then they'd have like cookbooks. How to cook with microwave. That was always dandy when you got like, you know, because they always sold it as, you know, make a roast in 2 minutes. You know, wow, so Jetson-y like. You know, we can go make a roast and we can watch the rest of the game. And yet the roast, when it came out, you couldn't, you know, take like a sledgehammer on the damn thing. Mmm, this tasty, Mom.
Ooh. Mmm, good.
There you go. Then that's how you would make your nachos for when the Tigers were going to be back on. You know, just throw a bunch of cheese whiz on the top, throw it in the microwave. Ding! You got mail.
That's right. Or you got the cheese whiz ready for when the ghoul was on.
Amen, man.
That's right.
Yeah, and not the spray stuff either,
that's
man. You
right.
got them from the jar.
From the jar.
Bless their heart that the ghoul is still somewhere around. They got Svengoolie now. He does a hell of a job. I mean, for writing and stuff, I never miss it on Saturday. I always think, I'm just going to watch the very first part, and then I normally like, well, all right, I'll watch the rest of this cheesy movie. But the ghoul, for sure. And I think he's still around somewhere. I mean, he's not on TV, and it's really too bad because... Why is he really affected so many minds, you know? I mean, blowing up things. I mean, I take a look at some of his old shows now, and you think, how the hell did they let that through, especially back in the day, you know? Blowing up watermelons, you know, blowing up car models, you know?
Putting a firecracker in Froggy's mouth.
Hiya, go, hiya, hiya, hiya. What you doing, go? You're just a crazy man today. What? Okay, go, okay, Froggy. It's time to get that tooth out. That's okay, Ghoul. I don't need it. Oh, yes, you do. Ow, 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 ow. Boom.
Boom.
And then there was just something about growing up with the Ghoul. Yep. You know, Ron Swede, the gentleman's name, I believe, he's still in Ohio or something, and he kind of still makes personal appearances all over the place. But we got a chance to see him when he was at Snooker's Pool, when that was still open. And shook his hand and said, thank you, man, because really, you put me on the trajectory of where I'm at today, you know? Because it was just fun to watch him.
He set us straight.
He set us crooked, and that was the whole point. But everybody else that we were supposed to watch Mort Krim and drink milk and stuff like that, when the Ghoul came on at 11 o'clock, I mean, if you could stay up that late, you know, because your parents didn't, they had no idea what was going on. Hey, hey, hey! You know, it's like, oh, this is going to be fun. I mean, this is the first guy that really, as far as we knew, because there was Ghoulardi way before that, but that was in Cleveland. You know, when the Ghoul came, I mean, he was syndicated for, you know, especially the East Coast, but there was nothing like the love in Detroit. I mean, the Ghoul could show up today, and people would still show up for him. I mean, he's that cool. Why are we going on a Ghoul thing? I don't know why, but I think Ghoul in
it's a different kind
sports,
of sport.
Oh, it was a great sport. I mean, if there's things that, you know, really influenced you growing up, you know, I don't know anybody, I guess, where you'd have to be, like, in junior high school in the 70s, you know, to really totally appreciate the guy. Because if you show any kid now what he did, it'd be like, okay, so he puts a firecracker, you know, in a watermelon and he drives around on a big wheel, you know. But, man, that was high comedy. That was like, whoa, look what he's doing. You know, and then Monday, that was much CTV. Had to see that. You know, and Monday you go into school, go see what the Ghoul did. Wasn't that cool, man? You know, especially when he would sit on the toilet. You know, you're a king, you're a leader. You know, Bafo Sacco movie. You know, he was the only, I mean, as opposed to having in Detroit where you had Bill Kennedy. And now to our show, you know, and you were supposed to be like Aretha Bell. You'd be like all into the movie. Oh, yes, it was wonderful cinematography here. you know, Ghoul would, like, go into a garbage can and start bringing out film, and it's like, this is the crap that we're showing you tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know?
The real, the real.
It was just awful, and he knew it was awful, and it was the best thing to do, and it just, there is people now that could really, because Ghoulardi, or Svengoolie, he writes real well. His jokes for a gentle kind of everything is really kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
But the ghoul just said, I mean, through pies, I mean, had any time that Parma would go on, you know, you'd hear the polka start playing, you know. I mean, there was, and all the characters that he had, too. It's just an amazing thing, which had nothing to do with, because the Tigers at the time had nobody.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking in 74, 73. Who was the team? The Red Wings? No. Lions? Never. Pistons? No. I think Pistons were still in Cobo then, weren't they?
Yeah.
Maple Leafs?
Boo! What were the Maple Leafs doing in 73? Losing.
Boo! Well, that's what I did. I watched the Maple Leafs and I watched the Ghoul.
Well, in 73, the Tigers were kind of like where they are now, where they had some aging players that had done some good things, but everyone kind of knew the good days were behind him.
Yeah, but who did you still have? Did you still have Willie Horton?
Yeah, you had Horton. You had McAuliffe. You had
Northrup.
Freehand. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody was aging rapidly too.
Norm Cash.
In 73?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they pulled it apart in 74.
Wow. Well, there you go. I mean, you could have had so many other people, God, because then you really went into darkness. 74 to
75. Yeah, I mean 75. The starting pitcher for their opening day in 75 was Ray Bear. Anyone remember that name?
Yeah. Actually, wasn't that the...
Sure wasn't Fred Bear?
Or Thread Bear, like it is now?
Or Smokey the Bear?
Or Bear Cack, like you know who?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the Billy Martin days? Because I'm trying to think who was Mayo, because it certainly wasn't Mayo Smith by that time.
No, no. It was Ralph Houk.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Ralph Houk, because Martin was here in 72 when they won the division. And I think he got cashiered like in 73.
And then was...
They brought in Ralph Houk after that.
Ralph Houk and then Les Moss for a day, and then Sparky?
Yeah, I think that's right, because I think Houk was here through 78, yeah.
Because Houk had... This is what it is. If you have a billion-dollar team, it's easy to win. You know, come to Detroit, you know, with aging veterans, you know, which is a nice way of saying the downslope of your career. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, there was kind of, they were competing, you know, and they were hoping to God to get a Fidrich, you know. But Fidrich was the only person that put fannies in the seats you didn't come for. I'm trying to think who the hell his shortstop was in 75. 74.
Tom Verizer was 75. Brinkman was 74. But I think 75 they brought Verizon up.
Then who they put in first base? Brinkman? I thought they put him there.
Oh, no.
Go, Mark.
Jack Pierce.
At first base?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Because I'm trying to think around the horn, who'd you have at third? And that's where I thought Verizon was. Verizon. Good Lord. You know, because I'm trying to think who's at infield. McAuliffe at that time?
Nah, he went out in 74, I think.
So there's a big blow
up. And then you have, you know what? I think 75, it might have been Cesar Gutierrez.
At shortstop or second base?
I think Verizon was 76.
Wow. Okay.
Because I remember Gutierrez, he was like 6-for-6 one game or something.
Yeah, people thought this guy was going to really catch on.
And then he
That's right. He went. Yeah, he went to a doubleheader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
had one great day, and that was his career.
He went. Yeah, a whole doubleheader without making an out or something.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
But he had one good day.
Yeah. Okay. He had basically a career 240 hitter, but he had one day where they couldn't get him out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. I thought he was an okay fielder, you know? Yeah,
so, everybody seems to be a good fielder. Just can't get him. It's just like Iglesias.
Yeah.
The guy's a vacuum cleaner, but Okay, he's going to be a career 240 hitter.
Yeah, but you know that's what he's going to be. I mean, really, how many 300 hitter shortstops do you know?
Well, now you got a lot.
300.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, let's see. Sager hit 300, didn't he, last year?
Who's hitting Lindor? 300 now?
Now?
Yeah. The wheels are turning.
Is Lindor at 300 now?
It's kind of like a Batcave computer
he's
here.
He's been in a slump, so he's probably under 300.
And then there's Correa. He's been real hot this year.
Okay, but now how many... Let's go this way. How many 300 hitter shortstops are there? How many 220 hitters are there? Ooh. Who outweighs the most? Yeah. You know,
we got one of them here.
Yeah, but the guy is a human highlight reel when he turns it on.
Yeah.
But then again, you know that he's the hole in your lineup. You know, like the like 2011 Tigers used to be. You know, 7, 8, 9. Good night. Yeah. You know, whatever rally you got from 1 through 6
died there.
Die now. Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. And you knew it was going to go because you knew they were going to get antsy and swing it, especially if you had like a, you know, 2-2 count. Yeah. They're going to swing. Yeah. No matter what it is and where it goes, they just get like nervous. I'm like, oh, damn it, you know. And then they have the audacity to stare out like at left field, you know, when they're walking back to the dugout. Like the people in left field had something to do with it. You know, it's, you hear a chorus of swing.
Yeah, there's not very many.
No, there's
consistent 300 batters, second base and shortstop.
No,
and if you get one, you better keep them.
Yeah,
because there's not very many of them around anymore.
Did you see number 9? I mean, I saw like the really quick version of the show. You know, I mean, they were just accused, right? They weren't convicted, right?
Well, they were charged now. Yeah. Yeah,
okay, so charged. You got 3 Michigan State football players charged with sexual assault from an investigation coming from January. Okay, so those 3 people got kicked off the team, which, God, man, that's such a weird place to be. You're accused, but you're not convicted.
Right.
So what are you going to do if this court case goes on for like a year or two? You're going to lose a year or two of your football eligibility, you know, and your body's going to go, you know. Or do you keep these guys on under the suspicion of what they did? Man, that's a weird tightrope to walk, you know. Because knee-jerk, you'd get rid of the guys.
Yeah.
You know. But if we see everybody's going to go and frame it under the lacrosse team, you know, they were accused. They thought they had, you know, did the right kind of information on them, and they walked. It was all fabricated.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so what do you do, especially Michigan State's not winning, and not winning is a breeding ground for discontent.
Yep. And they've already been dismissed from the team, so they're not training. They're not doing nothing. They're basically sitting and eating bonbons.
How is their lawyer not suing or getting an injunction? You know? Because you would think, you know, the most easy principle, unless it's been knocked out by Washington since we've been on the air, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Charges mean nothing. I mean, there is some weight to them. You know, if the FBI charges you, yeah, you're done. You're sunk. You know, the FBI doesn't charge you unless they know they got you. You know, then you start sweating, and that's when you start singing. You know, but Ingham County, you know, they have something against you. I mean, it's like Mativ Cleaves. Okay, now what's going on there? You know, there's all kinds of these things where they, I mean, who was the Detroit pitcher a couple of years ago? They got nailed by some lady said that, you know, he was inappropriate to her in some casino hotel. Yeah.
Oh, that right-handed pitcher.
yeah, him, you know?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, he was accused, and then he was okay, and then he was accused again, and then they sent him down to Toledo, and then you never heard from the guy ever again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't even think he was that good, was he?
No.
You know, which reminds me, as a separate thing altogether, what's Smiley doing? Anybody know for Tampa?
DL.
He's in Seattle now.
For Seattle?
Yeah.
DL.
DL.
60-day DL.
Really?
Yeah, he messed up his arm.
Jeez. I'd like to see what his career is like. You know?
Yeah, he's not been good.
No. He started out real good when he went down to
Miami,
and then Tampa. He hurt his arm, or Tampa, or wherever he went.
What a trade.
Yeah.
You know? Because I know that the folks in Florida were, like, laughing. Ho, ho! We got this guy for that? Sure, we'll do that all the time.
Yeah, it sounds like good to me.
Well, thank you, Mr. I.
Yeah, but now he's been having arm problems, and now he's back on the 60-day DL.
Did you see the game last night, by the way?
The hockey game? Yes, I did.
Did you? Wow. And there was a question that was brought up today. Why would you pull your goaltender at 3 minutes and a half? Did you really think you're going to score two?
It's been like a... Ever since Patrick Waugh started doing that when he was coaching Colorado, everybody's doing it now.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Because you think you're going to... The gamble is on a... What was it at the time? 3-1?
Yep.
So do you think you're going to score a goal with like 2.5 minutes to play... And then what are you going to do? Pull your goaltender again?
What's
the percentages?
The percentages. Well, anytime you pull your goalie, the percentages are not that good. But it's happened to where they've tied the game a few times.
Yeah. Did you see the guy score from? I mean, it was almost from the red line, from red stripe.
Philippe Forsberg. Yeah,
that was unbelievable. I mean, talk about the shot of shots. I mean, it was wobbly and it was turning. I know we've seen the video.
My hat trick. I had 2 out of 3 right with 3 minutes to go, and the one question was, will Philippe Forsberg score a goal?
Sure.
And I said no, and then he scored in an empty net, and I go, man, that would have been my fourth hat trick in a row, and I saw that puck going into the net, and I'm going, you jackass.
Should have called me. I would have told you. I knew he was going to score.
Can I elaborate on the hockey playoffs for a second? The way that they're roughing the hockey games in the playoffs.
Loser.
Oops, sorry.
During the season, you barely touch somebody, and they're giving penalties out.
I'll be back a little bit. I'm going to go get
a beer. Bye. Give me one, too, while you're out there?
Sure.
All right. Give me two.
I'm going to go to Jimmy John's. You want something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, geez. Now, come on, guys.
Well, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, no,
starting to talk about hockey referees.
I know. Yeah, really.
No,
here we go.
I am just...
He brings out his whistle again. There you go. Thank you, Mark.
No, during the season, they want the game to be exciting and whatever, and have lots of power plays. You barely touch somebody, they call penalties all the time. I mean, there's 10, 12, 15 power plays a game. You watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're beating on people, knocking people down, killing everybody.
Yay!
And they don't call nothing. Hockey. Why don't they just do it all year round?
Because.
Why do they have to change it just because it's playoff hockey?
It's time for a BC two-hander, I'd say.
There you go. There you are. Thank you very much.
Well, and they were doing plenty of those during the playoffs.
I'm pulling for PK. I mean, really, you know why? Because I want PK to get... I mean, Nashville to get a Stanley Cup. What the hell? Why are we playing in Nashville anyways? But they seem to really be into it, so we tip the hat to those Nashvillians.
That's right.
You know?
They were throwing a bunch of catfish out again last night.
Oh, that's so hokey. I mean, really, if you either throw the octopi or throw nothing, you know, you big-ass copycats. So
now, if they throw braziers out there, it's a different story. I'll show up for that.
From Bravo Intimates and Swimwear.
Swimwear.
There you go. Thank you very much. Right there on Woodward, just a quarter mile north of 12 Mile. If they're going to have so many people show up outside, did you see all the people that were outside? I mean, they were digging this thing. They get the idea. It's refreshing to see. I think, and now in your expert, not even expert, in your authoritative thoughts, does it not look like that the Peds are more hungry for this?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Yeah.
You know, and if they look the other way and Crosby gets his butt beat, oop. Oh, well, I will watch.
I mean,
you know,
I have no problem with the way they're calling it. But it shouldn't be one way during the season and one way during the playoffs.
Because it should be Toronto's one way during the season.
No, no, it has nothing to do with a specific team. I'm saying if they're going to call it.
Wait a minute. I heard many, many times, what the hell is he calling? From
because they call nitpicky stuff.
And it's always against Toronto.
I admit when Toronto here gets a penalty, I admit it. Comes. But all I'm saying is they should be consistent the whole year. Not just, oh, it's a penalty, and now you take the stick and blast them in the head, and it's like, oh, I didn't see anything. Now, come on.
People love that old-time hockey.
Well, then it should be all the time.
Well, you can't, because then if they get all hurt, they wouldn't be able to make it to the playoffs, which it's been, you know, payoffs. You know, how else do you think you get this team to go up this high? You know? For Montreal to go out in the first round? Please.
Well,
it's a conspiracy.
That's why the Red Wings didn't make the playoffs.
There you go.
It was all rigged, right?
It's the money. You know, they had to have. Here's the story. The Red Wings couldn't win. And they got paid off by the NHL because they have such a huge debt for the new arena. They have to find money anywhere. So they said, all right, look, guys, you want a bigger summer? We got to really pay for the Pistons' rooms coming in. Do you see that? The Pistons' room's not even done. It's just like some hanging kind of air vents in a dark room. That's the Pistons' room.
Well, that's all they deserve.
Yeah, really.
That's true.
Be honest with you. You know, the funny thing is, though, you see the Peds going. If you're not pulling for PK, and I don't know, I mean, they're almost setting him up to be, like, the guy to watch. I mean, I think PK, as far as we know, is cool for hockey, you know? I mean, he's a cool dude, as far as we know, you know, his public persona, you know? And just the fact that he can go back to Montreal with the cup in his convertible and just drive around the Montreal. Beep, beep, beep. Wait, you guys hated me. I couldn't play hockey, remember? I was no good for the team, remember? You, like, blew me out, remember? And look who went out first round, and look who has got the cup. Beep, beep, beep.
Just drive around the Bell Center.
I drive in the Bell Center. Beep, beep, beep.
Just drive up right up the stairs. And
yeah, leave the car there. I mean, you're making, how many millions does he make a year?
Oh, he's got to be in the 6 or 7, 8 million a year.
Go find like an 89 Dodge Omni, you know, just duct tape the cup to the top and just go up the stairs. Bing, 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 bing. Leave the car there, set it on fire, you know, and say, thanks a lot for the trade, man. Peace. That'd be the greatest mic drop of all time.
Yeah.
You know, you go, PK. First of all, you got to find an 89 Dodge Omni somewhere that still can go up a hill.
Yeah.
or any piece of garbage that'll make it up the stairs.
Yeah, I mean, throw a Yugo. I mean, I'd total Blues Brother it. I'd go right through the plate glass window and drive around the Bell Center. I'd try to get down to the ice. You know? Try to drive around where the Zamboni is.
Go through the Zamboni entrance.
Hell yeah, man. Do a big donut on the ice right there in the center.
Just spin around.
Hell yeah. Beep, bleep. You know? Look who's champion. You know? Oh, I'm pulling for the guy. I really am. I'm hoping that the Peds win. Not because I don't like Pittsburgh. I like the city a lot. Love the people. I don't like your team. You know, they're good, but Crosby, as crybaby and everything that everybody always calls him, the man is a talent, but personality-wise, doesn't hold a candle. You know, you want to see this guy get hit. As much as so many people, when the Red Wings were good, you know, they were the Yankees of hockey. People hated them. They were that good. You know, and we're from Detroit, you're thinking, okay, why would they hate our team? Because we're good. You know, Pittsburgh's the same way, but I mean, Crosby, how many times have you heard it? You know, the guy's just a lolly. You know, he's just a Nancy. See, they can't see that.
It always seems like they hate, you know, all the, you know, the good players, the good teams.
Well, I mean, the Yankees still bring in people in the seats no matter what stadium they go to, no matter how good they may or may not be.
Right.
You know,
the Yankees.
Yeah, they're still the Yankees, and it's like, and if you beat the Yankees, it's like, woo! even if they're like, you know, you're right, in the Ralph Hulk years, you know, boo, I'll boo them.
Boo!
Now they're the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Same colors. Anyways, what's the Golden Knights doing nowadays?
Oh, the Golden Knights.
Is that the Golden Knights? Is that what they're called now?
Yeah.
Not the Dark Knights?
Yeah, the
gold. They're not Golden Seals, they're Golden Knights, huh?
Yeah, they're Golden.
Golden Seals, that was a cool uniform, though.
It was.
Can you still get one? Oh. Online, probably. Yeah. Right next to your Viper one or your Plymouth Whaler one? No?
Yeah, you probably can somewhere. I would imagine. Go to...
There's talk about Quebec City or Seattle coming in.
Why? Yeah, they're talking about maybe expanding again, but most likely...
Why would you go to Quebec? Quebec City. I mean, how many millions of people live in Quebec City?
A lot. They used to have a team.
Called the what?
Quebec Nordiques.
Oh.
That moved to Colorado.
Boo.
Boo.
Boo!
But most likely, if they do... expand, it's going to be someplace on the West Coast, which means it looks like...
I think Hamilton should move to the West Coast.
I'm telling you, get Hamilton in there. I'll give you a trumpet. Hamilton, Hamilton, Hamilton. Hamilton deserves an NHL franchise. There is no discussion there.
But
wow, I feel like Sean Spencer. But without the bullshit.
But see, the thing about it is the East still has one more team than the West.
Great. Send Columbus. Bye. I mean, I don't know if Columbus really wanted to do the East thing. Did they? Because, man, they got kind of... Although now they're kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good now.
I mean, but it's a lot easier to come out of the West, you know, travel-wise, blows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, travel does... But, yeah, they're thinking now of maybe bringing Seattle in. But Seattle doesn't have a stadium. Seattle, you know, they have to start basically from scratch in Seattle because they have nothing there. They have the backing.
They got the financing, and that's all they care about.
Yeah, they have the financing, but then they'll be looking at 3-4 years down the road because they have to get someplace for them to play, which means they have to build something.
That would give Seattle all four teams, though, right?
No.
No basketball.
No basketball.
But that's okay.
That would bring them a hockey team.
Hockey, football, baseball. And soccer.
Soccer.
So I would substitute soccer for an NBA draft team. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what that cast-off would be like? Ugh.
Yeah, they're still trying to get a basketball team back there, too.
All right, so where would you go? Would you go Quebec?
Quebec's got the arena. They basically have everything just like Cops Arena in Hamilton. They got... if they gave them the franchise, they could basically do an expansion draft and play a year later.
God, could you water down the NHL even further?
The talent pool would be...
It's stretched now.
Yes, it is.
You know, but then again, if you're going to bring in two more teams, you know, Vegas and, say, Quebec, guess how many more teams get to make the playoffs next year? You know? It's like, let's go backward. There's, out of how many teams are in the NHL?
30 right now.
At this particular point. If it makes it to 32, then I guess four teams don't make the playoffs. You know, and so Bettman would just, the only reason why they do that is just so Bettman can go, you know, let's get some money in that till.
Yep.
You know, let's get people that shouldn't even be in the first round, and then you pair them up with 1-8, you know, because anytime now there could be an upset.
Excuse me.
There's never, ever, ever is one.
Yep.
You know, ever.
Almost was one last year.
Almost horseshoes, and away we go. Okay, well, lucky you. Which way are you going with that? Quebec or Seattle? Could use another Canadian team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They could use another Canadian team, but they want a team in the West. So they either have to move an Eastern team west to bring in Quebec, or they're just going to pick something out west.
You know what? Send Carolina out west. Just as punishment for being so crappy for all these years.
Well, they're playing better, but the problem is their attendance sucks.
Yeah, it does.
They've only been averaging 10 or 12,000 people a game. You know, they need to either get the attendance up or they need to move them.
All right, so Carolina goes.
They should move Arizona Carolina goes. To Seattle.
Carolina and, to Quebec, wouldn't it?
No, they need to move something west to bring in an Eastern team.
You move the Arizona Coyotes.
But that still doesn't. You need to move an Eastern team west.
All right, so give them Carolina. Screw them.
That's what I'm saying. Take Carolina, move them to Seattle, and then either bring in Hamilton or bring in Quebec.
You know, what's the chance of Hamilton ever making it under Bettman? Never on never with
probably
never.
Never, because Bettman hates the Canadian teams.
Yeah. Oops.
Because Bettman's a jerk. Are you listening, Bettman? You're a jerk.
He probably is, actually. A lot of people listen to sports.
I know, really, like, because you know what happens after we do this? We always get those tweeters. It's like, who's tweeting us now? Bettman, Trump, Mr. I from the grave.
They're all listening.
Yeah. But to the 17th.
You just don't like the Canadian teams, and then you wonder why it's going to be another 100 years until Canadians win the Stanley Cup.
Well, as long as they keep trading PK. Anyways, hey, the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, what did we not discuss in 1 minute?
We didn't talk about the NBA Finals. I think there's a reason why we didn't talk about the NBA Finals.
Mark Milicek, what did we...
this thing is like going down the drain fast, people. Anyone care anymore? If you're not in Cleveland, you know...
If you're not in California,
or San Fran, but I mean, if you're in Cleveland, you're sitting there going, "Come on, we got two games at home. We're gonna do good. We're gonna." And everybody else go, "Nah, this is over. Pull the plug.
It's over." It exposes Cleveland for what they are.
Yeah,
you know, except for now they're gonna go on a tear and win. But
and Mr. Durant is the ace in the hole,
and he's stroking now, man. Yeah.
That's what's putting them over the top.
Yep.
He's rocking the house and making it happen.
Yeah, and it's not good for the NBA either because the interest level in this finals is...
Because they're basically making their own teams to win.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like we saw that when LeBron went the first time.
Right. Went to Miami and picked his own team. Picked Wade and picked Chris Bosh and whatever to win his championship down there.
Yeah, what's happened to Bosh? Man, has he just got a medical?
Yeah, he's got blood clots, and he can't play anymore.
Good, and we almost had him as a draft choice. You know, if you didn't take your cousin. Talking about cousin, Mark Milicek, what did we not discuss in 1 minute?
Well, the Washington Nationals placed Jason Worth on the disabled list.
Ooh.
And they called up Ryan Rayburn.
Oh, Ryan Rayburn?
Holy
Oh, damn. My God. Loser, are you kidding me?
Loser.
Hey, maybe they like loser. Anthony Ghost, too.
You suck.
Well, how did they get... How the hell does this guy keep popping up?
Oh,
he's like
I
a
saw
roach.
That, and I said, I gotta bring this up.
Brandon Inge. Come on. Get with it, guy.
Dude,
yeah, the Nash, yeah, Worth hurt his foot, so they made a phone call to AAA...
Where's Delman Young? Oh, Lord.
Or his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rayburn was in AAA Syracuse, and they called him up.
What was he hitting, 261?
Rayburn was hitting 277.
Damn, all right.
Yeah.
All right. With three
dingers in AAA.
Just wait till they try to put him in the field somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
You know, the pitcher does hit in that league, right?
Yeah.
They know.
There's no DH.
He's got a hit. He's got a field. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on that story and many others over this week. So, for the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, and our sport director, Mark Milicek here, John Sarah is saying thank you so very much for being with us with the sports authorities, and we will see you here next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And if you can't see us then, come to Podbean, PODBEAN. Click on CKIW in the search box, and you can have us anytime you want, anywhere you want on our podcast. So until that time, everybody, thanks a lot for being here. We'll see you next week. Bye. That's right. Now.
Bye.